I thank Brother Mike for the wonderful introduction. He missed it 10 years. I was 15 when I preached my first sermon on Easter Sunday morning. And ironically, as I start the second 50 years in ministry, I'm going to use the same passage of Scripture. Not the same message, but the same passage of Scripture. And so I invite you to turn to Mark chapter 4 for our time together this evening. I appreciate Brother Don's invitation. He texted me while I was at our National Association meeting in Gatlinburg last week and asked if I could preach this evening, and I told him I would and was grateful for the opportunity. Mark chapter 4, begin our reading at verse 35. And the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awakened him, and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind. And he said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Now help us to study together and glean some things from you, and may your spirit enlighten our hearts. And Father, may you get glory in all things in Jesus' name. Amen. When you think you're going under, we've all had our share of storms in our lives, have we not? We've all had that sinking feeling, thinking that we're going to be in over our heads and we don't know if we'll ever come out or not. Well, there's all kinds of storms that we face. Sometimes they can be categorized. I want to mention a couple of them here. And that is situational storms. Those are the storms when the circumstances, whatever they may be, financial or any kind of circumstance that comes into our lives, that they seem to plot against us and everything seems to be going wrong, and Murphy comes at us at full force, and everything seems to just fall apart all at once. Those are the kind of storms that we have some real problems with, those situational storms. But then there's the relational storms as well. When we have problems with one another, when we get out of sorts with one another, those storms where it may be child against parent, or parent against child, or it may be husband against wife, or vice versa, or it may be some of our friends, or sadly, even sometimes in churches where we get at odds with one another, and it seems that we just can't get over those things. Our life is filled with storms. Then there are, of course, the emotional storms. These are often hidden on the surface. We have a nice smile. Everybody asks how you're doing, we say fine, but then we really say fine under the circumstances, and we'd like to, perhaps to tell them the circumstances, but we don't. But inside we're filled with great distress. We're paralyzed by fear and overcome by guilt and filled with anger, consumed with worry or jealousy. These are the emotional storms of life. And the Bible says something about the storms of life that I want us to see as we begin to look at this text. And one of the things that we note in when we think about the storms of life is the fact that storms are inevitable. They are going to come. There's just no way around the storms that afflict us and affect us in our lives. You'll experience them, and if you're not in a storm right now, you've perhaps just come out of one or you're headed for one. But you're not going to go through this life without facing some storms, some troubled seas, some tossing on the waves of life. but they are a part of life. And in James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, when you face trials, and that's what I wanted to point out, when you face trials, it does not say if you face trials. You are going to face trials and struggles and heartaches and disappointment and situations and circumstances that overwhelm us, where we think about them and we think we're going under. And yet we manage to get on through them. We will face the storms. Nobody gets smooth sailing all of our lives. Rough seas are coming. Maybe they're in the past. Maybe we're in them now. But they will come. We all have tough times and stormy seas. Storms also are unpredictable. We don't know when they're going to happen. Now, sometimes we can look at the circumstances of our lives and the things that we're doing and know that if we continue in that path, that we're headed for struggles and storms, and heartaches and disappointments. But the reality is we have no idea when they're going to come. They are unexpected. And this storm in the Bible says that without warning, a furious storm came up. And try as we may, we cannot predict those things. Now, we may find ourselves lying awake at night worrying. Or we wake up in the morning worrying, is a storm going to hit my life today or am I going to get by for another day? But the reality is we may get by today. We may get by tomorrow and the next day, but we're still going to face them. Storms from the past and storms in the future, as long as we're here on this earth, we can't predict when they're going to come into our lives. And also storms are impartial. It rains on the just and the unjust, the scripture says. Unsaved folks and saved folks face troubles and heartaches and storms and difficulties. Good people and bad people, ever how we classify folks, we all face troubles and storms. They happen to all of us. And being a Christian does not exempt us from being in the storms of life. There's a misconception that people have that the only time that we face storms and difficulties and heartaches and troubles in our lives is when we're out of the will of God. But that's not a truth that we find in the Word of God. Now, sometimes our being out of the will of God brings consequences in our lives that are like storms to us. But then there are those times in our lives that we face a storm and we're experiencing a storm in our life and we find ourselves in the will of God. These men were in the will of God. Jesus had been teaching the multitude, sharing with them parables. If you back up through this fourth chapter, and see what had been going on, and he sent them away, and he was already in the ship because he'd cast away from the shore so his voice would carry and so the multitude wouldn't press upon him so much. And while he was there in the ship, he said, let's pass over to the other side. So they headed to the other side. They were in the will of God, and then the storm unexpectedly came upon them. When you're going through tough times, don't automatically assume I must be out of the will of God, for you may be exactly where God wants you to be at that time. In fact, God has not promised us a storm-free life. And we have choices, and people make mistakes, and people get hurt, and we face difficulties. It seemed to overwhelm us. And that's why we're to pray. To pray, Father, thy will be done on earth and in my life as it is in heaven. God has not guaranteed us a storm-free life. So if storms are inevitable and if they're unpredictable and if they're impartial, then the issue really comes down to what my response is going to be to the storms that are going to happen in my life. There are really two things we can do in response to the storms that come our way. They're seen in this story in the way the disciples responded and in the way that Jesus responded here in our text. First, when we face a storm, we can be filled with panic. That's where we find these disciples, these sailors. The disciples went and woke him saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. But now folks, these men, even though they were disciples, they came from a background of fishermen. They were not amateurs. This was not the first time they'd crossed this sea, gone from one side of it to the other. It's not the first storm they'd ever found themselves in, but apparently it's the first one that ever caused them to be so fearful for their lives that they cried out in agony and fear and went and woke Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that we're perishing? We're going to drown. We're going to lose our lives here today in this sea." That shows the intensity of the storm, but also the intensity of their fear. It says they panicked, they got afraid. And that seems to be our typical reaction when the storms of life come. But there's an alternative to being filled with panic, and that is to be filled with peace. Jesus was not alarmed. Yes, he was the Son of God, but he was in human flesh. He was going to experience the storm as they did. No doubt he was well aware of it. But when you look at the reaction of Jesus in verse 38, but Jesus was asleep on a pillow. Now you let some of the storms like have come through Conway and Bologna and Mayflower area in the last several years, and it's hard to find anybody ready to sleep, isn't it? But when the storms of life come, and our hope is in the one who gave us life everlasting, then we don't have to panic. And we can be filled with his peace. I mean, after all, sleeping in a storm, who could ever imagine that? You talk about peace, that shows the humanity of Jesus for one thing, in that it shows that he was tired. Now, again, if you would look back over what had been happening in this chapter before we get to the verses we're looking at, it was a full day of ministering to people and teaching folks and sharing the truth of them to them in parables. And then when the multitude was sent away, he would get along with his disciples and he would explain to them the parables, the truths behind those parables. He would teach them. And with all this ministering and teaching and preaching, he was in the flesh physically exhausted. So as they make their journey across the sea, he's going to take his rest. For no doubt, the next day would be filled with just as much demands upon him. If you've ever wondered if Jesus can identify with your feelings of exhaustion, I think this answers it for us. The day had been spent. The journey across the sea was an ideal time for him to get some rest for his body. But more than that, this is a picture of complete trust in God. You see, Jesus was asleep because he wasn't worried by the storm. He was setting an example by the very fact of his sleep. He was teaching his disciples a lesson, an object lesson. Did Jesus know that they were going to be in a storm before they left? Of course. He knew everything. He knows all. So he knew what was happening. But that was part of his plan, to teach this lesson about faith and to help mature them. Because we understand, and we know it, but we sometimes perhaps don't live it. We know that nothing surprises our God. He doesn't go, "My goodness, I wasn't expecting that in your life." But he does. He knows all. He knows what we're going to experience in our lives. And we cry out, "God, I'm in a storm." Yes. "Well, aren't you concerned about it?" Yes. "Aren't you going to do something about it?" Yes. "I have a plan. I'm in control." Nothing ever surprises God. It's ironic that Jesus is sleeping in the storm, because one of the signs that you know you're in a storm is that you just can't sleep. You're so emotionally involved, you're so gripped with tension and everything that goes along with being in a storm or a trouble or a difficulty or a heartache in life, that you just can't rest. Maybe you're just living on adrenaline. You're just making it through, and you just can't relax, and you can't find that peace, and you can't experience that calmness of spirit. We lay awake at night tossing and turning, going over it in our minds, trying to figure it out, worrying and thinking, what if? What if I do this, but this might, and if I do this, this might happen. What if it's not going to end? What if it's all going to just come crashing down upon me? What if I'm going to lose my very life in all of this? Americans spend millions of dollars on sleep aids every year. Yet what they lack is peace of mind and peace of heart that lets us put our heads down on the pillow and sleep in the midst of the storms. When I face a storm, I can panic, as these disciples did, or I can be at peace as our Lord was, because He is the Prince of Peace in our lives. The fact is, sometimes sleeping can be a statement of faith. You say, God, it's too big a problem for me, so I'm going to hand it over to You. He says, well, that's where you need to be doing with it to begin with. We have this tendency, do we not, to try to take care of things ourselves first, and then we get advice from everybody that'll listen to us tell our story, our problem, or our heartaches. And then when we cannot do anything with it, we finally, as a last resort, instead of a first hope, we say, God, you think You could help? And we finally get around to asking Him and seeking His guidance and direction in all that we face in life. You say, God, it's just too big for me. I can't handle it. So now it's Your problem. He said, that's fine. Bring all your burdens and your cares and lay them at My feet. I can handle them. And I can enable you, and I can help you, and I can be with you, and you can survive this storm, this heartache, this difficulty. That's a statement of faith. God, I don't know how You're going to work this out, but I leave it in Your hands. It's a statement of faith instead of a statement that all we're going to do is worry about it. Where in the world do you go to get that kind of peace in a storm? You get it when you apply the principles that are taught in this passage. How do you make it through the storms that come? When it seems like your ship is sinking and you're going to drown, what do you do? Well, there are three simple, profound truths I think we find in this passage of Scripture. And the first is to remember. Remember God's presence. Remember that He is near, that He is with you, that you're not in this by yourself. And that's the saddest part of it. We who have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, so many times in the circumstances and situations of life that we find ourselves in, we tend to forget that He is with us. We are in His presence. These disciples had nothing to fear. Jesus was in the boat. Jesus was their salvation. Jesus was their hope. Jesus was their peace. Christ was there with them, experiencing the storm with them. If you're going to make it through a storm, the first lesson you've got to learn is that God is always with me. Just say that to yourself, or say it out loud, that God is always with me. Always. How much time is that? That's just all the time, you know. There is nothing that you or I will face the rest of our lives that we will have to face alone. Gentlemen, you've learned that. There's not anything that comes to our lives. We've all experienced some things in our lives that we wonder, where is God when we needed Him? Where He's always been, on His throne in glory, concerned about you and me and caring for us. But we think we're all alone. We think that God is far away, but God has promised every believer, lo, I'm with you always. God promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And Isaiah 43 verses 1 and 2 says, fear not, When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. What a promise. These sailors had the Lord with them. They were in His presence. Why were they so fearful? Because they had their eye on the circumstances, not on the Savior. And that makes all the difference in how we handle the circumstances and the perplexities of the life that we live. The storms when they come our way. If you don't, or you don't need to worry if Jesus is in the storm with you. So remember God's presence and then rest. Rest in God's precious care. I think this is one of the great lessons we really find in these verses of Scripture. And we must learn it if we're going to make it through the storms. God cares about what you and I experience and are going through. He is concerned with everything that brings heartache and disappointment and struggles to our lives, though He uses them. All things that come into our lives are not good, but God uses everything that comes into our lives ultimately for our good. He blends them together, and we are matured by them. We grow by them. We are made more confident in our God, more dependent upon Him and less upon ourselves when we recognize that we're in His precious care. The thing we need to do is to just repeat this over and over until we get it into our minds and into our hearts and into our daily living. God cares about what I'm going through. My Heavenly Father and my Savior Jesus Christ cares about everything that I'm going through in my life, every day of my life. How much does He care? Get in your Bibles, and when you come across a promise of God, underline it. And about 7,000 promises later in this book, then you'll realize that God does care when the world says He doesn't. If God cared for you, the world says you wouldn't be facing all of this. If God cared about you, then you'd have smooth sailing and you wouldn't face the storms of life. But you see, that's the world talking. The folks who don't know our God and our Savior and His truths and His promises, who've not experienced His peace in their hearts. And so the storms of life are bringing great tribulation to them. And claim that one in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Cast all your care on Him because He cares for you. Rest in God's precious care. The one thing that the disciples did right in our passage when they got afraid is they took their fear to Jesus. They went to the source of what they needed. Some peace, some assurance, some reassurance, some hope that all was not lost, because He's the only one who can do anything about the storms of our lives as well as the one that these disciples were in. And then thirdly, rely on God's providence. Let His power see you through. Mark 4 here in verse 39, Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and the sea was calm. Rely on God's providence. Instantly it was quiet. Now the disciples may have still been shivering and trembling from the very thought that they could have lost their lives. But they didn't. The disciples had seen Jesus do miracle after miracle. You begin to wonder why all of a sudden this storm caused so much turmoil in their own hearts. They had seen Jesus work day after day, circumstance after circumstance, miracle after miracle in the lives of people. And now then they let a storm
cause them to fear and forget that they are in the very presence of the one who performs the miracles by the might of his own hand.
They of all people should have known that he was competent and capable to handle this situation too. There was no need to be ashamed. There was no need to be afraid. And if you're thinking you're going to make it through the storms of life or that you're not going to make it, then just remember that God is in control. Rely upon his providence. God is with me. God cares about what I'm going through, and God is in control. We don't understand the storms that come our way. There are many things that we've been through or in now or will go through that we, even as much as we love our Lord, may say to him, Lord, I don't understand why. I don't understand what good this storm, this situation, this tragedy, this heartache, this problem. I don't understand how you can use it for any good in my life. We don't understand the storms. And there are many things we're not going to understand until we get to heaven. But understand this, God is in control. And rely on his providence. Fear comes when we experience the things of life that are beyond our control. And the truth is, there are, have been, and always will be many things in our lives over which we have absolutely no control. It can be a report from a doctor. It can be a report from our financial advisor. It can be a report from a principal to a parent. It could be any number of things that we face in life that come unexpectedly upon us that are beyond our control. But the truth is, there are many things in life that we can't control. But the good news is, the Bible tells us that the things that are beyond my control and your control are not beyond our Heavenly Father's control. I cannot handle or control everything that happens to me, to my family, to my friends, even to our church. But God can. He is in control. Jeremiah 32, verse 17, Sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. Notice before they got into the boat, Jesus said to his disciples, we're going to the other side. Let's go to the other side. Now, the very fact that he said they were going to the other side means that it was inevitable that they were going to the other side. But he did not tell them that it was going to be easy, that it was going to be a smooth sea and smooth sailing. He just said, we're going to the other side. He didn't say they would not have a scare or that they'd have a problem. He just said, we're going to the other side, and if he said it, they were going to make it. But notice Jesus had to say to his disciples, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? You have seen my power demonstrated day after day. I've told you we're going to pass over to the other side. The storms have come, you faced them before. I am with you. You're in my presence. I'm in control. Why are you lacking in faith? Why are you so fearful? Jesus told his disciples two things. One, the root of your problem is fear, and two, the solution to your problem is faith. The root of your problem is fear, and the solution to your problem is faith. Fear just destroys any reason in our being. And faith sees us through any storm that this life may bring our way.
The greatest threat to the lives of the disciples was not the storm, it was their unbelief and their fear of the storm. The secret of their survival was faith. Everyone has some kind of faith. It's just that some folks don't have it in Jesus Christ. They put it in their own abilities. They put it in themselves or others. They put it in their finances or their abilities. We all have some kind of faith and we put it somewhere. But it's when we put our faith in Jesus Christ that the storms of life don't seem near as threatening. They may be just as intense, but they're not near as threatening because we are in His presence. He who has authority over all creation. It's interesting that never in the Bible do we find Jesus rebuking somebody for having too much faith. You can believe God for too much? I don't think so. You can have too much faith in God? I don't think so. Even if we feel like we are people of great faith, there is still much more faith that we can apply and that God can enable us to have in our lives. The problem was always a lack of faith. Some Christians live lives that require no faith at all. And the Bible says, though, without faith, it's impossible to please God. If our faith is in anything other than God, our lives are not going to be pleasing unto our God. And if God knew in advance the storm was going to be out there, why did He let them go through it? For the experience that's going to mature them. For the experience that's going to make them realize that the answer to their problem and circumstance is right there in the boat with them. Jesus, they're in His presence. If just Jesus knew the storm was coming, why didn't He just wait? If Jesus knew that the storm was going to be violent, why didn't they just stay on that side and wait and go the next day? Because He wanted them to learn the lesson. It's the same lesson that all of us have to learn. And the only way we learn some of the lessons that God has for us is through the experiences themselves and through the storms that come unexpectedly but inevitably into all of our lives. It's the lesson that we must learn. The lesson is this: Jesus can be trusted even in the storms that we find ourselves in. And the only way you're going to learn that lesson is to go through the storms of life. Andrew Crouch wrote a song entitled Through It All, and in it he says, "If I never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do." It is when we respond to the storms of life with faith that we see God's power most. We sense His presence more. The disciples really had no reason to fear. They had what every one of us have. They had the presence of Christ, the power of Christ, and the promise of Christ in their lives. And you have those storms in your life where you're going to have to make the decision. Am I going to panic? I'm going to turn to the one who is going to give me peace. What's rocking your boat tonight? What's filling your life to where you feel like that you're going under? That you're not even going to survive this? What's flooding your ship? What kind of storm are you going through? Is it a strained relationship? A financial difficulty? A painful memory? That's got you so tied up that you can't see anything else? Is it a health problem? Is it a secret storm that nobody else knows is going on and raging in your life?
Is it something on the inside, an emotion that's got a hold of you? Like guilt or grief or anger or bitterness or jealousy or worry or fear? Maybe you feel like the circumstances of life are tossing you back and forth and you feel like you're just a little boat out there in a great big ocean being tossed to and fro and you're thinking, I'm going under. I'm just not going to make it through this one. If that's the way you feel, then God says to you today, no matter how big the wave is, I can rebuke it. No matter how troubling the storm, I can calm it. No matter how difficult the circumstance, I can control it. There's only one person that can calm the storms of our lives, and that's the only place we need to go, and that's to Jesus. And notice the very last verse in this passage. Then the men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Verse 40 said, Jesus said, why are you so fearful? And then verse 41, they feared exceedingly, King James says. Two different kinds of fear. One for their very lives. And one when they that was a reverential fear, when they realized they were in the presence of the creators of the seas and the clouds and the storms. They were in the presence of one who could take care of whatever they were experiencing. I could see how he loved and see how he cared. And I can see in this passage what he did. And he will help you in your storm tonight. Because you see, he cares about us and what we're facing in our lives from day to day. He will help you in your storm, but you've got to get him into your boat. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you need to call out in faith, believing and trusting in him, confessing your sin and being gloriously and eternally saved by his grace. And if you have him in your boat, you've got Christ in your life, then just cry out to him who will see you through. And one last word to remember about the storms. The Bible teaches that storms are inevitable. They're going to come. They're unpredictable. We don't know when they're going to come. They're impartial. All of us are going to experience them. But the other thing that the Bible teaches us is that storms are temporary. We're not in this forever. No matter how difficult it is, how heartbreaking it is, how much struggle and pain we have with it, the storms do not last. One day Mark Twain and a friend walked outside in the rain and the friend said, do you think it will ever stop? To which Mark Twain says, it always does. When we realize these storms that come through and it rains and just pours down upon us and we understand it's not going to last, it's going to pass. Why do we not realize that the very same thing is true about the storms in our lives that we face from day to day? And that the God who controls the storms of this world is the God who can control the storms of our lives. You've got to go through it, but it's not going to last forever. And look with me in the next chapter, the first verse of that next chapter. And they came over unto the other side of the sea. Jesus starts out, let us pass over to the other side. It was tough sailing. It was rough seas. It was treacherous storm. The winds and the waves. The sailors were fearful. They went to the source of what they needed to calm their fears and give them peace instead of panic. And they passed over to the other side. Some of you feel like you're in a major storm right now. And God's word to you is, hang in there. Keep on living. Don't be afraid. The sun will shine again. There is hope. God is with you. He'll get you through. You'll make it to the other side, just like Jesus said, because he will calm the storm, or he will calm you in the storm. See, sometimes God takes the storms away. Sometimes he takes us around the storms, and sometimes he takes us right through the middle of the storms, but he's with us every step of the way. He calms us in the storms if he doesn't calm the storm itself. You're not going under. You're going through. Remember, God is always with you, and that's his presence. God cares about what you're going through, and that's his precious care being manifest in your life. And know and remember that God is in control, and that's his providence. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon God's word. What are you facing tonight that you want God's help for? Brother Mike and I'll stand in the altar while a verse or two of an invitation is played. God is here waiting for you in the altar if you want to pray with him. Brother Mike and I'll be here if we can pray with you. But you do what God bids you to do. You may think you're going under, but God's going to see you through. Let's stand.